Welcome to week 5 of our sermon series about worship. This week is a sermon about the sermon. Seems kind of odd in a way, doesn't it? But anyone who has grown up in the church has grown up knowing that it's rare to have a Sunday worship without a sermon. For some churches, the sermon has become the centerpiece for the greatest part of the worship. And I will tell you, especially as a pastor, I am horrible at listening to sermons. As I hear another person's sermon, I'm either A, listening for points that I could steal or use in one of my own sermons, or B, in my mind, I'm adding to things that they should have said. Oh, I would have gone completely different with that passage. Or in my mind, I'm critiquing their entire approach. And I honestly have said, I am glad this person is not my pastor, because they are boring. Guilty. As a pastor, I have had to relearn on how to listen to other people's sermon. Especially if I know I will be forced to listen to someone I already have something against. Because let's be honest, you have all heard people preach that aren't good speakers. Maybe they have an awkward delivery, an unusual tick. Perhaps they make really bad jokes. I'm guilty. Maybe someone is too emotional or too serious or does something too crazy like run around the church in a cape. Maybe it's too long or too short. Maybe they have too of an academic approach, or maybe they just don't have enough meat in their sermons. Or maybe their sermons are too biblical or not biblical enough. But regardless of the person, the style, the content, or the delivery, I've had to learn how to seek God's truth in their message. I've said it several times, but one of the hardest parts for me in writing my own sermons is preaching at myself. You only have to sit through it once, but I can spend an average of 10 to 15 hours per week on each sermon. I know it doesn't always show, but it's the truth. But that means I'm poring over scriptures and the message for hours. I have to read and reread the sermon many times over. In a sense, I hear the message again and again and again. But that means I get to hear the message that God has for me again and again. And just this morning alone, this will be my third time through my sermon. But what is a sermon for anyways? What is its purpose? Am I supposed to entertain you? Am I supposed to make you feel good? Am I supposed to talk about just your favorite parts of the Bible? Am I supposed to inspire you? Am I supposed to wow you with eloquence? George Burns was once quoted as saying, "The secret of a good sermon is to have a good beginning, a good ending, and to have the two as close together as possible." I am quite certain that many of you find truth in that statement. However, there is a definite purpose to a sermon. According to Constance Cherry, the author of The Worship Architect, she writes, "The primary action during the service of the word is revelation. God reveals truth through the readings and the sermon." Now, last week we looked at the reading of the scripture. We learned that the reading of the scripture by itself was the word of God for the people of God. And I believe the word of God absolutely stands on its own and also creates the foundation for what is to be brought in the sermon. The sermon, as our author writes, is an extension of God's truth. I have a responsibility to expound on God's word, to help reveal the truth we find in God's word. A part of my job is to help you to connect the dots in God's word so that you get a clear picture of God's truth. And this is a responsibility I take very seriously. This responsibility is a biblical truth. James 3 says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Hebrews chapter 13 writes, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account." I'm accountable to God for you people. Acts 20 says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." I have a very important charge, and I sincerely believe that God holds me accountable for how I do my duties as your pastor. And as a part of my responsibility, not everything that is preached may be what you want to hear. We heard this earlier in our scriptures from 2 Timothy. He said, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." Now, I've said this before. I have never intentionally written a sermon to target any single individual. I don't do that, and I won't do that. If I have something I need to address you as an individual with, I will address you as an individual. But I have written sermons that God has led me to do to address an issue that we as a church may be facing, not only in here, but maybe outside of here as well. Some of my sermons do instruct. Some of my sermons may inspire. You might love some of my sermons, and you might hate all of my sermons. But each week I do a lot of prayer and preparation, and I do my best to follow where I believe God is leading. God has woken me up in the middle of the night and has had me rewrite my entire message. Not something I wanted to do at 1 o'clock in the morning, but that's what he said to do. Each week it is my prayer that the Holy Spirit speaks beyond my abilities. Because no matter how hard I work at it, everything hinges on how you respond, not to me, but respond to the Holy Spirit. I've been asked this question before. What is the difference between teaching and preaching? The difference between teaching and preaching is this. The goal of teaching is to increase your knowledge. The goal of preaching is to create a response within you. It's no good to gain knowledge if you don't take it and do something with that. Having knowledge, like we can learn, I put all the statistics up about how many hungry people there are in this county, in this state, or around the world. You can have all the knowledge of how hungry people are, but until you go do something about them being hungry, you're not responding to the message. Do you see the difference? My job as a pastor would be to get you to go feed hungry people, not just tell you there are hungry people. Last week, for example, was a combination of preaching and teaching. At times, I do need to teach you so that you can reach the point of having a response to God's word, so you can understand it better. But I'll tell you what's amazing about reading God's word and preaching is that each of you may hear a different message. And each of you may hear a message that I've never spoke. It has happened to me hundreds of times. It's amazing how God speaks to people through the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes how Satan speaks to people. People have come out of the service and say to me, "Oh, Pastor, I really needed to hear about whatever they said." And in my head, I'm going, "I never wrote those words." But God was able to use that time to speak to them in a way that they needed to be spoken to. And then on the flip side, the opposite has happened. I've been accused of saying things I've never said. The battle for truth is a spiritual battle. It's a battle between what God wants you to hear and what Satan wants you to believe. Do you understand that? We are in a spiritual battle. Go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Satan did what? God gave his word and God gave his commands, did he not? Do not eat of that tree. And what did Satan do? Satan took the truth of God and twisted it and said, did he really mean that? Did God really want to keep you from that? So we have to understand that there is a battle. And I have a responsibility to bring the truth of God's word. And you have a responsibility to hold me to that. And you have a responsibility to avoid teachings that are not God's truth. Back to 2 Timothy 4. And if this doesn't resonate to our time today, I don't know when other time that it's more true. For it says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Chew on that for a while. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Doesn't that sound like the world we live in today? We have so many preachers each Sunday that preach an incomplete gospel. I have seen preachers with a personal agenda. And I have seen this happen on both sides of any issue. There are even preachers in churches and on TV that sadly have thousands of followers who buy into a message of incomplete truth. The word of God is truth. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, I may not know or understand all the ways of God. There are things and concepts that are beyond what this nut can crack. I can't grasp it all. But I do know this, that God is the same. He never changes. That's why he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. God never changes. He is the same God of the Old Testament as he is the God of the New Testament. He is holy and he is just. And God gave us a new covenant through Jesus, but God never changed his expectations of us, and God has never changed what is sin. When we seek God's truth, we have to understand God's nature and weigh everything in context with the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. We can't just pick and choose snippets and live off of snippets of the Bible. We have to take the whole thing from Genesis to Revelations. God's truth is not about what we want to believe. Let me say that again. God's truth is not about what we want to believe. I have heard people say over and over again, well, I don't care what you say. I can't believe in a God that does that. I don't believe that about God. I've even had people ask me, well, did Jesus really say that? And usually those are people who lack a true biblical foundation. See, God's truth is not supposed to always fit about what we want. We are to fit ourselves around to what God says. We don't fit God's truth around what we want. We fit ourselves around God's truth. And when anyone changes God's truth, they become a false teacher. And so many people buy into false teachings because they sound so good. We want to believe them. Just like Adam and Eve, they wanted to believe. Because sometimes the false way is the easy way, and the truth can be hard. And we have so many warnings about false teachers. Just in the New Testament alone, there's hundreds of them in the Old Testament. But Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." The Apostle John writes, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And from Acts chapter 20, "Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them." 2 Peter, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of the truth into disrepute." Disrepute. I can't say that word. Disrepute. And this is part of what is splitting our denomination. We as a church are no longer a people largely filled with the Holy Spirit. We are, as a church, have stopped holding our leaders to be accountable to the truth. We have to be a people of spirit and truth. There is a real war, a spiritual war against God's word. And you, all of you, each of you, have a responsibility to seek the truth and to test the truth. There are pastors who don't use God's word as a basis for their sermons. There are pastors who twist the word and teach things that are not true. There are pastors who will avoid the hard topics and controversial topics and just play softball with you. I hope you know me by now. I hope you know that I do a lot of study, prayer, and preparation. I hope you know that I am not afraid to bring the truth even when it's uncomfortable. But I'm also here to admit that I am not perfect. I have a speech impediment. And I will from time to time accidentally say things backwards or omit a word. And from time to time, despite all my preparation, you may not agree with what I have said. But as your pastor, I am always open to talk with you. I encourage you to hold me accountable. And if you have ever have an issue with what I have said or preached, then you can either reach out to me directly or to Jake Sullivan, our PPRC chair. Because I want to discuss things with you. It's a great way to grow together. And when we sit down together, I promise you that number one, we will pray together. And then I will listen to your concerns. And then we will open God's word together and we will come to a resolution. And it may be a resolution of agreement. And it may just be a resolution of mutual respect. But here is the most important part, and it takes us back to week one of our sermon series. Worship is about an encounter with God. It's not about me. It's not about my sermon. It's not about what we planned. It's about having an encounter with God. The entire process of worship is an invitation by God to have an encounter with God. And through our praises, our prayers, and other signs of unity, we turn our focus to God's word. And when we are focused on God, our hearts should be open to hear God's truth revealed to us. First, we hear his truth as the word of God, through the people of God. And then through the sermon, we have more truth revealed. And it is this truth that will take us to our sermon for next week. Because from God's truth, we will have a choice on how we respond to God's word. In order for us to have the proper response, we must first seek and receive the truth. You have a responsibility to seek the truth. You have to come here expecting to have an encounter with God. You have to pray for God to prepare your heart. You need to worship like you mean it. And when you worship like you mean it, you will be more prepared to hear the truth that God has for you. I have the responsibility to bring the truth. And each week, I promise you, I will do my best to bring you the truth. But you have the responsibility to receive the truth. For no matter how well or how awful the sermon may be delivered, the Holy Spirit will still reveal truth to you. And no matter who's preaching up here, you need to see past the person and you need to hear and receive God's truth. And next week we'll dive deeper into this and about your responsibility to respond to the truth. But I'm here to tell you, it will become life-changing if every week you are prepared to come here and receive God's truth. And I'll be honest with you, over New Year's, we went to Cleveland, and we go to Carla's home church. Well, their pastor takes off the same Sunday that I take off, and they had a layperson who gives the sermon, and I've not enjoyed her previous sermons. She's very quiet, and she's very slow. And I have a hard time staying awake. But you know what I said this year? I said, I am going to go and I am going to look past and say, God, what message do you have for me today? And you know what? She hit me with a message that I needed. It was a message on patience. It was the truth. And if I would have gone there with the wrong attitude of what she's going to say and how boring is it going to be and how long is it going to be and how awful is it going to be, if I went with that attitude, it would have been awful, it would have been long, and it would have been boring, and I would have left there with nothing. But instead, I said, I'm going here because I have a chance, one, to worship and not lead worship, and two, I have a chance to listen and to hear, and God spoke. And my challenge to you is to come here every week, not seeking what you want to hear, but seeking what God has to say to you. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to this end of period of hearing your truth, Lord, I first pray and ask that it is your words that are heard each and every week and not mine. Lord, I pray that people sense and feel the power of the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit reveals to them the very truth that they need to hear. And Lord, as we listen for your truth, may our hearts always be open to receive that truth. And when we receive that truth, we can then make a decision on how we will respond to that truth. But we cannot respond to the truth if we do not first hear the truth. Lord, as your people, help us take the truth to this world. Let us never forsake the truth of your gospel and our need for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because if we can twist the gospel and if we can twist the good news and if we can make things right that are wrong, then nothing matters. We can just make anything up as we go along. But your truth is about love. Your truth is about salvation and redemption. And Lord, let us always be seekers of the truth. All of this we ask and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. It will change your life if you come here to find everything that is right rather than coming here to find everything that is wrong. It will change how you worship. It will change how you leave here. It will change your week. Paul says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive God's word. Receive God's truth. Take his truth with you as you leave. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.